Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and Pastors Richard and Helen Kabakian can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Okay, let's listen to this. So, Jacob is one of the patriarchs of the Bible, and there's a whole lot of stuff said about him. Actually, the nation of Israel is named after Jacob. God changed his name from Jacob to Israel, and the reason why God changed his name was because the guy's name means swindler, cheat, one who grabs the heel, supplanter, one who changes the place of. And the reason that it says it is because he actually stole his brother's birthright. He stole it. Now, his brother basically gave it away, but he stole it, and he and his mum concocted this plan where the dad would pray for him, and he stole his older brother's birthright. And so he's now on the run. His brother wants to kill him.
Just like if you're a younger brother, just like when you stole your brother's chocolates. Remember those days? And then, Mom, what happened to my chocolates? And it was you. And then you remember you had to run around the house. I don't know, was it just me? But yeah. He was running from his brother who wanted to kill him. And so he's out there, he's all alone. And then there's this amazing passage of scripture, which the amount of churches that have been named across the world because of this passage. This passage is an incredible insight. It gives us incredible insight into the kingdom of God. And maybe you've never read it before, but let's just pay special attention to it because it is a very powerful passage of scripture, okay? So I don't want you to check out on me and go, this is now where I just sort of don't listen. This is the part you should listen the most because it's the word of God, amen? Yes. So we find it in Genesis 28, and in verse 10 it says, Jacob left Beersheba and he set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and he lay down to sleep. There was no tontine back in the day, guys. Verse 12, he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending. And there above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac, and I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Verse 14, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out, listen to this part, from the west to the east, from the north to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring or your family. I am with you and I will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you.
That's great.
Wow. That's awesome. Watch this part. When Jacob woke up from his sleep, this is the part where a lot of churches have been named around the world, the different names of churches you'll see will start to come out in a moment. When Jacob woke up from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place.
Amen.
And I was not even aware of it. And he was afraid and he said, can you repeat after me? How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. What a revelation to have. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone that he had placed under his head and he set it up as a pillar and he poured oil on top of it and he called that place Bethel. Though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me, I will watch over me on this journey that I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household. Then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Jacob was on the run. He was feeling guilty for what he had done to his brother. He was feeling lonely. He was tired. He was living a life that was really separated from God. And I know that for many of us, we've experienced what Jacob did. You know, for a lot of us, we were living a life that, let's be honest, we weren't very proud of. And when we would drive past a church, maybe we would feel that little bit of guilt. And so we feel like we were on the run. And then we find ourselves in a really dark place. And this is where Jacob was. Now, you've got to understand something about Jacob. Jacob, his grandfather was Abraham. And everybody knew of Abraham and the great man of faith that he was. He was a man of integrity and he had faith. His dad was Isaac, the son of promise. And his grandfather and his father had powerful encounters with God. And they used to tell stories to each other about, do you remember the day that God did this for you? And do you remember the day that God did? And they used to talk around the household. And Jacob was sitting there listening to all these stories, but he himself had not had that experience. He hadn't experienced that. Can you imagine when Abraham would tell the story of, yeah, let me tell you the story again when God told me to kill you, Isaac. Really? I just thought we were going up a mountain. Yeah, I know you're a bit young back then and you asked, where's the lamb? And I'm thinking, you're it, buddy. That would have been a really bit awkward, hey? Remember that? Hey, let's tell the story again about when I was going to kill you. Interesting story to tell. But Jacob himself had never had this encounter. And I love this story because, you know, for many of us, we've heard the stories about God. We heard the stories about what Jesus did, but yet we didn't have our own encounter. But listen, I want to tell you something. The day that Jacob experienced this, it changed his life forever. And you know, as a church, what are we trying to do? We just want people to encounter God.
Yeah, come on.
That's all we are trying to do. My deepest desire is that people who are hurting and lonely and feeling like they're on the run from people, on the run from God, on the run from themselves because of some of the stuff that has happened in their world. All I desperately want is for people to come into this place, into that foyer, to get onto that car park. And I want them to come in here, but I don't want them to just hear a song. I don't want them to just hear good preaching. You like the part about good preaching? I want them to encounter God. Because God can do something in their life that will change them forever. Forever. And we ought to be clapping right now because that's powerful. That's what we should be wanting for everybody. I want people to encounter God. Because knowing about Jesus doesn't quite cut it. And I don't know about you, but I grew up in a religious institution. I grew up in church and I did all the things that you're supposed to do. But I've got to be honest with you, I did not know Jesus. And Jesus himself tells us that we've got to read these passages because this is why we exist as a church. If it wasn't for passages like this, I wouldn't even bother starting a church because most people know about God. Would that be true? Most people, do you believe in God? Oh, yeah, I sort of believe and all that. But because of passages like Matthew 7:21, where Jesus says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoa, pay attention. Jesus is saying people who actually call him Lord. So these people must have some sort of Christian faith. Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven. On judgment day, many people are going to say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. Do you know what that means? They were telling people's future. These people were powerful. And we cast out demons in your name. Anyone cast out demons lately? No. Well, these people were. Powerful people. And they performed many miracles in his name. Anyone doing lots of miracles? Maybe one or two, but anyone doing lots? These people were. But Jesus says, but I will reply, hey, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. Wow. That's why we exist as a church. Because to know about Jesus is not good enough. You actually got to encounter him. You've actually got to know him. You've got to have a personal relationship with him. Oh, but you know, I grew up in this. Hey, listen, it doesn't say, I grew up with him. Do you actually know him? Do you actually know him? Why do we do what we do? Why are we doing what we're doing today? Why do we take up miracle offerings? Because we want people to have an encounter with God. Now listen, this is really profound. This passage that we just read gave us great insight into something. The Bible says that Jacob saw a stairway that was leading from earth to heaven. There's a stairway. Hey, let me just tell you something right now. There is a stairway. God hasn't left us all by ourselves. God hasn't said, well, I've created the earth and then stepped back and created a chasm. No, there is a stairway. There is a stairway to heaven. Let's write a song about it. There actually is a stairway to heaven. Now listen to this part. This is the part that I love. The Bible says that Jacob, standing at the bottom of the ladder, which is on earth, looked up and he saw God standing at the top. But this is the part. Let me mess you up a little bit. Guys, there was direct access from Jacob straight to God. Listen to what I'm saying. There weren't priests that he had to go through. Oh, yeah, I just said it. Yeah. There were no priests. There was no institution that he had to get through. There were no, listen, I love Mary. She was the mother of Jesus. Amen. But he didn't have to go through Mary to get to God. The Bible tells us that the stairway was clear, it was bright, and it was from the earth straight to God. We can have a relationship directly with God, not through people, not through institutions, not through a church. We can have direct access. And what is that? What else does it tell us? It tells us that there were angels that were ascending and descending. Any version you read, it says that they were going up and down, not down and up. Now, I mean, does it make any difference? Yeah, I think the Bible always says things for the right reason. What's it saying? It's saying that God is always responding to the up first. Do you know what the up is? It's our prayers. The angels are taking our prayers up, and then we get our prayers answered, or we get the answer that God wants. We ask for something and God gives it to us. It's not just down and up, it's up and then down. God's answering our prayers. What else are they doing? These angels are giving us guidance. What else are they doing? They're providing protection. But listen, where is all this happening, by the way? On the stairway. It's all happening on the stairway, isn't it? They're providing protection. They're fighting for us to protect us from Satan's attacks. Do you know there are angels that are fighting for you right now? Do you know that? Right now, there's angels fighting for all of us right now. They're ascending and they are descending. What a powerful passage. The next thing we see is that God then speaks to Jacob. And as we just read, the first words that God speaks to Jacob are, "You dirty rat." That's what I'd say if I was God. "You little swindler. You horrible little man." I imagine Jacob to be little for some reason. I don't know why, but I just do. But they're not the first words that Jacob hears. Do you know what the first words that Jacob hears? "I am God," pretty much. He just says, "I'm God." And then the very next thing he hears is, "I want to give you." Doesn't bring up the cheating. Doesn't bring up the lying. Doesn't bring up the past. God just says, "Hey, listen, by the way, I'm God and I want to give you stuff." People don't know that God. The sort of God that most of us, that I knew was, mate, if God ever got me in a room, he wants to tell me a whole lot of stuff. Yeah. And it's usually about how bad I am, the things that I haven't done, the things that I haven't achieved. Listen, God knows that there's a devil who does that very, very well. God doesn't need to join the party in making you feel terrible about yourself. Isn't that good? Come on, let's give the Lord a huge round of applause about that. There is a God that when you get to spend some time with him and you have an encounter with him, the first thing he wants to tell you is everything he has done for you. The first thing he wants to tell you is everything that is available to you. That forgiveness is available to you. He doesn't want to tell us about how bad we are. You know, some people, let me be really straight up about this. Some people come and they talk to me. They don't usually last very long at Lifehouse. And they want me to preach messages that make all of us feel terrible about who we are and make us feel terrible and really bad. If I was to walk around this whole room and say, "Hey, listen, have you had negative thoughts about yourself this week and how you failed?" Every one of us would say yes. Is there anyone that would say no? "I've done nothing wrong all week this week. I am absolutely perfect. I never yelled at my kids. I gave every time I had an opportunity to. I saw a lady who couldn't pay for her petrol and I paid for it." Or do most of us go, "Man, I failed pretty bad, actually, to be honest." Yeah. So why do I need to preach messages that just add to that? How about I tell you that there's a God in heaven who paid the price for your sin, who cleansed you by his blood. He's given you everything that you need. Ah, but come on, you've got to preach those tough messages. Well, I don't need to. The devil does it for me, I promise you. Come on. Jesus was on the cross and they're all wagging their heads at him. They're all wagging their heads. They're giving him a hard time. If you're the Son of God, get off the cross. If I was Jesus, I would have gone with my laser eyes. I would have just cut their heads off with my laser eyes. Yeah. You think I'm so... That's how my Bible would read. And Jesus blew them to smithereens. That's how my Bible would read. And what does Jesus do? Father, forgive them. They know not what they... That's the Jesus I serve. Amen. That's the sort of church we are. God doesn't want to tell you everything that you're not. He wants to tell you everything that he can bring into your world. That's why it says in our vision statement, we are a church that's full of grace and truth. Hey, listen, we're going to tell you the truth about what God wants for your life and how we ought to live, but out of a heart of love. We live like that, not to get to heaven. We live like that because he has made a way for us to get to heaven. Amen. Do you know, in our church, well, you know, in some places, I don't know, I haven't been to many churches, I don't quite know how it works, but I hear that in some places you have to behave, better get your life right, and then you better get your belief right, and then we'll let you belong. Yeah. Yeah. That's how some places, some organisations, you know, first you better behave. Get the skirt down to that right level and, what, you got lipstick? Ah! Right? And they're having heart attacks. And you've got the morality police walking around and they're like that. And did you hear that she said, he said, they went, he drives. And then, now that you've got that, your behaviour right, now, try and believe in Jesus a bit too, please. Right? We don't really care if you didn't believe in him as long as you behave. But now that you're behaving, okay, now you can be a member, you can belong, we love you, have a cup of coffee. Oh, no, you just stuffed up. Go back. Go back to square one. Didn't get your behaviour right, man. Do you know, at Lifehouse, you can belong.
That's right.
You can belong. You can belong. You know, there are people that are serving on teams. They're not even sure whether they believe in God or not, but they just love the place.
Yeah.
I love that. We've had band members. We've had band members playing. Come on, some of you guys have started the church. Do you remember this? We had a band member up here, right? Serious. Can I walk around here without setting everything on fire? So we used to have like, oh, come on, man, give me some keys at least. Come on. And so we used to have like, no, I've got nothing. Okay, blank. Anyway, we used to have a guy playing keyboard. And as he was playing, he had a packet of cigarettes up on his sleeve. You know when you put your cigarettes up into your T-shirt sleeve? He used to have it like that, right? And so he'd be playing with the band, bump, bada bump, bada bump, and then he would make a mistake and he would go, oh, F-ity-F-ity-F, during the worship. So we're like about to sing Jesus. He's like, F! F sharp. And we'd be like, I'm about to worship Jesus and I just hear F! And I'm like... But you know what? He was allowed to belong. Now, you know what? Since then, Derek has come a long way, guys. You're allowed to belong. Then we hope that you sort of, you know, you better believe because of that scripture about you better get a relationship with Jesus. And then we believe by the belonging and believing that... I reckon God's really powerful and he can tell you how to live. Because we're all at different levels. And for some people, you know what, they're at that stage. And these, how about we just leave it to the Holy Spirit, who's able to empower people to live the life that God's got for them. If you believe that, come on, let's give the Lord a huge round of applause. Listen to this. Then he says, now listen, Jacob, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed through you. Now this is where I believe this is a bit of a prophecy for our church. Because you know what we are doing in this place, friends, it's not just for us, it's for all the families, definitely in this suburb, definitely in our state. It's a bit difficult to get from Sydney to here right now, but I tell you what, they can certainly podcast, and they are. And God is doing great things. But it's, he says, but listen, but you're going to spread out from the west to the east, from the north to the south. Well, I reckon we've got two of those covered. But I believe God's still got those other two for us as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm speaking that over our church. You know what? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why we do this. We're not just trying to expand our kingdom. We're trying to expand the kingdom. Yeah. Amen. And we want to make it really easy for people to come to a church that is full of life. And you know what? We're not saying we are the church as in the only church. Of course, people can go to many churches, but we are still the church.
Yeah.
And we need to have a vision for what God wants to do. So Jacob woke up to the fact that he was sleeping in this place. And these are the words that he says. He says, God is in this place. And then he says, but I wasn't aware of it. I want to ask you all a question. Are you aware that God is in this place? Are you aware of it? Let me tell you something. When we read about Moses parting the Red Sea, we go, what a miracle. That is amazing. And it is. But you know, when you see a hand go up that says, I'm going to surrender my life to God, that's a greater miracle. And you think, oh, hang on, in a minute, we're going to give God a huge round of applause in a minute. Surely the Red Sea is bigger than someone putting their hand up. Let me show you why it's a greater miracle. The Red Sea opened and it closed. And one day when God wraps up the earth, we won't even know what the Red Sea was. But when that hand goes up, that person is making a decision for all eternity.
Yeah.
All eternity is impacted by that hand going up. That's why it's a greater miracle. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise and praise Him for the hands that go up constantly in our church. People whose eternity is being changed. And then Jacob can't help himself after everything that he's just experienced, which is pretty great, isn't it? He says, how awesome is this place? Can we shout that out today? How
awesome is this place?
Come on! 1, 2, 3. How awesome is this place? Eternity is impacted every single week, sometimes throughout the week. There is a stairway that is leading from this place straight to heaven. Straight to heaven. What an awesome place. And I would agree. Friends, this is what we want people to say, to know, and to experience in this church. What is it? How awesome is this place? It is none other than the house of God, the very gate of heaven. What three powerful statements Jacob made. I would say that about our church. How awesome is this place? It's none other than the house of God, the very gate of heaven. Do you know, if we could see in the spiritual realm, you would see the most beautiful staircase leading out of this place straight to the throne room of heaven. And it's just God and the people that are down at the bottom. And there's direct access. Do you know what I learned? You've heard me say this many times. I'm going to declare it again. I learned how to be a father in this place.
Yes.
Not this place, not these four walls, the house of God.
Yes.
I learned how to be a dad. I learned how to say to my children, I love you. Actually, I tell my children so often, they're going to be sitting in counseling rooms one day saying, he never stops saying that he loves us. He never stops saying it. I learned that in the house of God. That's where I learned. I learned how to be a husband. And come on, I'm speaking on most of your behalf. We learned how to be parents. We learned how to encourage. We learned how to prophesy and speak good things over our children. Hey, listen, our kids aren't doing ice. My children, I've got three of them. Some of you have got five of them, four. And we've raised them in the house of God. Guess what? They're not doing ice. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. It's the house of God. Those of you that have got young kids, you can have some confidence if I just keep them in the house. What God did for that family, God can do for my family. Amen? We can have that. We don't need to turn on the news and go, oh, the whole world. Let me tell you why those kids are doing it, because no one's speaking purpose into their world. But in this place, we're speaking purpose. Youth group, 13 young people gave their life to Jesus last Friday, right here. Right here, 13 young people. I love this. You know, I'm very blessed as a pastor. I get the messages, the text messages, the messenger. You know, through Facebook, you get messenger. Can I show you one lady's journey in our church? Can I just show you one lady? I've got it up on the screen so you can read it with me. Week one. This is week one. I walked out of church. I walk out of church every Sunday morning, Richard, a different person. I am being healed and delivered. And since handing the reins to Jesus, I have finally found that peace that passes understanding. And I can say that His loving kindness is better than life.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Hey, listen, it gets better. Week two, I walked into the auditorium. And I feel my life changing. I feel my heart changing. I know that I'm being healed and delivered. And I walk out of that place a brand new creation. Thank you for having myself and my kids and now my fiance. So now the fiance's coming on board. Don't you think for a minute it's just about lights and no, that's what's going on in the seats. And I know that this lady is speaking on many of your behalf. Let's go to week three. Want to go to week three? Hi, Richard. This morning in church, I was delivered from rejection and a complete lack of self-worth. I had a vision of me as a baby in my mum's arms, and I saw spiritual water flowing from the heavens over me. And I knew that those curses were gone. And I knew that I am free. For the first time in my life, I can honestly say that it is well with my soul. Today, I am 40. And what a great way to enter a new decade. Amen and amen. That's what's going on in this place. How awesome is this place? 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 How awesome. It's not just church. I'm just going to go to church. No. Rejection being healed. Trust issues being crushed. I love that. That's what I live for. That's what I live for. I love this. How does this happen? Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 51. Have a look at what Jesus says. He makes this amazing statement. Then Jesus says to everybody, I'll tell you the truth. You're going to see heaven open and the angels of God going up and going down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth. Amen. Do you know what? And listen, Bethel is no longer a place. It's a person. And his name is Jesus. And he is the stairway. And the Bible says where two or three gather in his name, he's here. You know, the stairway turns up every single time we turn up. Amen. And listen, don't come here late at night looking for the stairway. Because the stairway turns up when you turn up. Because where two or three gather, Jesus is there. Amen. Jesus says that there's only one mediator between him and God, between us and God, and it's him. Amen. Friends, what's this miracle offering all about? Let me tell you what this miracle offering is all about. Lifehouse is not the stairway. Yay! Yeah, good. Jesus is the stairway. Yeah. Let me tell you what we are. We're cleaners of the stairway. Yeah. I want to make that stairway the best and most beautiful stairway it can possibly be. Yeah. If there's some obstructions in front of that stairway, I'm going to try and get it out of the way. I'm going to prepare people for the stairway. I'm going to guide people to the stairway. I'm going to invest my life in helping people to go through that stairway. That's what we are trying to do here today. What's this miracle offering all about? So that we can build stuff out there. Hey, listen, we're not just building a physical staircase that goes up to the upper level. Yes, we will build that. What we are really building is a stairway to heaven. Helping people to get to the stairway. We are not the stairway. We can't build it. Jesus died on the cross to help us get there. All I want is every person in this place to walk up that staircase though and meet God personally. That's my deepest desire. That's all I want to see happen in your world, in my world. That's why we do this, friends. You know, that lady, that awesome lady who I love, she started coming into this place because many of you throughout the years sowed and gave and didn't get granite bench tops. You actually put laminate bench tops down so that you could give to the house of God so that she could come to the stairway. And she sat down and she was able to hear clear music and she was able to be in a safe environment so that she could get to the stairway. And she got there and so did many others. That's what we are doing, friends. Don't think for a moment it's about us upper level and kids area. Those kids are going to be trained so that we can get them to the stairway. Are you hearing that? It needs to be a proper environment. And then during the week, we can open that up and get some other young mums in there and get some other young children and then guide them to the stairway. Why are you guys building all this stuff? It's amazing. Because there's a stairway that you don't know about yet. And we're trying to get you to the stairway. Are you getting this? You know, as Helen and I prepare our giving, you know, we give every year. We give every single year. Obviously, we do. And we stretch and we give, you know. And I can't help but think, why are we doing this again? That's right. That's right. I remember. You know, there's a young man. He actually plays for the Essendon Footy Club now. We're hoping that he plays full time next year, but he's a part of our church. And in the age, a couple of days ago, he wrote that they were talking about, say, what are you doing with your life? And he says, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, but recently I gave my life to Jesus. Right? He says, I went to a church down the road. That was Glen Roy, right? He goes, I went to a church down the road. He says, and the pastor. Actually, I don't even know. It could be anybody. Said something. It was probably Dave, yeah. Said something. He says, and now I gave my life to Jesus. In the age, front page. Isn't that awesome? God is awesome in this place. God is awesome in this place. Every sphere, every level, everybody needs Jesus. We've all got to walk up the same stairway. We've all got to walk up the same stairway. You know, when I was working for a particular company, I'll leave the name out of it, but, you know, it was a boutique investment company, and I was the guy that used to write out the checks for all the advertising and marketing. And one day, the boss says to me, hey, listen, can you write out a check to the Carlton Football Club? Some of you have heard this story. Yep. And I said, yeah, sure, no worries. You know, he goes, you know, they're doing it a bit tough, and I want to see them do well. And I said, okay, so how much for? He goes, 70. Oh, 70 bucks, no worries. It's not even a membership, but anyway. He goes, no. 70,000. I said, 70,000? He goes, yeah. I said, 70,000, that's a lot of money. He goes, yeah, I'll do it every year. Now, that's important because people need to kick that little bit of leather through two sticks at the end. Like, it's important, man. Get your priorities right. That red thing needs to go through those white things. A little bit of swearing, a little bit of spinning on the ground. It's all important stuff. I said to him, buddy, why do you do that? He says, because I want to win a premiership. Listen to his wording. I want to... Oh, do you get out there and play, do you? No, he feels that just by contributing,
yeah.
It is him.
Yeah.
And the truth is, if everybody thought, well, they'll just somehow survive, they won't survive.
That's right.
But he wants to win the premiership. He actually wants to win a premiership. Do you know, if you actually go down to the Carlton, look, I'm a Carlton supporter, I don't apologise for it, okay? So I get to speak, it's about my team. When you get to preach, you talk about Hawthorn and all those other rubbish teams. But if you go down to the Carlton Football Club, you will see a big wall. It's called the Blue Believer. Look at that. Ooh. But if you get a little bit closer, now these are really hot, bad resolution picks, but you can actually get your name put up onto that wall. And have a look. Have a look at the next guy. Look at that. He's so proud of himself. Look, boom! What is his name? Craig? Whatever. Look how proud of himself he is. Look, that's my team. But do you know why he's doing that? Have a look at the next picture. Because he's hoping for that. Now, unfortunately, the poor guy has been hugely disappointed for many, many years now. But listen, that's the coach. If you don't know how AFL, that's the coach. That's the captain. Now, watch this. That coach didn't get out there and play a thing. It was all the players. Yeah, but without the coach, they wouldn't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Jesus is our coach.
Yeah. Come on.
We are the players.
Yeah.
We're out on the field. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. But do you know when we get to heaven one day? Do you know that lady? You know that lady that sent those texts? Do you know one day we get to stand up with Jesus and hold her up like a trophy?
Wow. That's so good.
And we get to say, Jesus, that's what we achieved while we were on the earth. And then we put that down and then we pick up you. Yeah. Some of you are a bit heavier than others, so it might be a bit of a struggle. But and we're going to hold you up and we're going to go, Jesus, this person's life too. And Jesus, and listen, Jesus, we're going to think Jesus should just grab the cup all by himself. He's going to say, no, I couldn't do it without you guys. Because someone invited that lady here. And someone funded this place so that we can do what we do. Are you hearing this? Why do we take up a miracle offering? Please don't think it's just about lights. It's the stairway, friends.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. What's the stairway worth to you? What's it worth to you? Oh, I might just give 50 cents. Amen. Hey, if that's a sacrifice for you, God bless you. Amen. But for some of us, come on, it's worth a whole lot more than that. For someone's life. Someone's eternal life. And listen, it may even be their physical life. Do you know how many people have not committed suicide because they got to hear the gospel just in time? Do you know how many people? Do you know how many people have been cured of depression? There's a guy in our church and depression has just ravaged him. But he goes to me, but Rich, I've got to tell you, surrounded by a great group of guys who all just keep speaking faith into me. He goes, man, I've been able to lift out of it. He goes, I don't know what I would have done without the house of God. Powerful. That's what we're doing here today. Is anyone hearing this?
Yes.
We're going to do it, friends. Jesus said, I'm going to end with this scripture. Jesus said, store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Yep. Oh, Jesus, that's wonderful. But how do we do that? Easy. Invest in the things that are eternal.
Yeah.
Anything that you take that you just simply invest in something physical, hey, you're welcome to do that, but it doesn't live on forever. It all comes to an end. Do you know when you sow into people, it lives forever. That's how you sow into eternity. Sow into the thing that Jesus is trying to do and trying to grow. Amen.
It's great. So good.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.